On the record. On News Talk.
With Pinergy. Supplying energy with insight to forward-thinking Irish businesses.
Amidst the current news cycle, you could quite easily have missed a story from last week. The death of George Blake, MI6 spy turned Soviet agent. Blake died at 98 years of age in Moscow on St. Stephen's Day. And many in Britain presumed that he was actually long dead. Sentenced to a pretty incredible 42 years in prison in the early 1960s, he escaped from one of Britain's most notorious prisons, but it only came about thanks to Limerick man Sean Burke. And that is at the heart of one of the most infamous jailbreaks in British history. And joining me now to discuss is Donal Fallon. Donal, very happy new year to you, first of all.
Same to you. Nice to be back.
Good to be back, and with a bit of different news and an interesting news today. Blake, fascinating character. He was a personal hero of Vladimir Putin, but a vilified figure in the British press.
Described as an outstanding professional of special courage and life endurance. That's the review of Vladimir Putin. And very, very different from the review of the Daily Mail, where he was described as notorious British traitor George Blake. So, you know, a remarkable life which can be viewed through many different lenses. But, you know, at the height of the Cold War, this guy George Blake was amongst a number of kind of British spies who caused kind of tremendous embarrassment for the authorities and who directly assisted the Soviet Union. And, you know, undoubtedly endangered fellow British intelligence officers. But almost all other such double agents are kind of forgotten. Blake remained one of the most notorious double agents of the 20th century. I think because of the way he escaped to Russia, the fact he was championed in Russia by Putin and others as a kind of political refugee across many, many decades. But in an Irish context, because we always like to bring this slot back to an Irish context, I think what's really interesting is the central role of a Limerick, you know, career criminal turned memoir writer, Sean Burke, in springing Blake from Wormwood Scrub. So I always maintain with this slot, you know, give me any story in human history and we shall find the Irish dimension on it. And here it is in the tale of George Blake. Were it not for Limerick man Sean Burke, you know, he may have done his dreaded 42 years in prison.
And we'll go into a bit more detail on that a little later on. But just tell us a bit more about Blake for those particularly who've never heard of him. His background in particular was pretty perfect for a spy.
Yeah, and I mean, people in Ireland may not have heard of him. Everyone in Britain knew the name George Blake. And I think most of the British public just presumed by now that he was long dead. Born in 1922 in the Netherlands. And like all good spies, to be honest, I mean, what is known about his background is a kind of curious mix of the verified, the certain, and the totally unknown. But he was born George Behar in Rotterdam, Dutch mother, Egyptian father, naturalised British subject, his dad. And he bore the most British of names possible, you know, named George in honour of King George V. And given that his dad had served in the military, I don't think it was entirely surprising. He himself joined the Royal Navy. But I think it was his own kind of curious international background, you know, his parents and everything else. He had a proficiency in languages and he also had an ability to quickly master new languages. And I think that meant that he was really perfect for a life as a spy, you know, moving beyond the Royal Navy into intelligence work.
And like many spies, found himself in particularly interesting times in the 1900s, in kind of the world, the Cold War years in particular, finding himself in Korea.
Post-World War II, there's this enormous kind of political turmoil, you know, across continents, and there's land grabs and power shifts going on. Britain, the US, the Soviet Union and others, they're all kind of fighting for global influence. And this guy who's now styling himself George Blake is a British intelligence officer in Korea, based in Seoul and tasked with the kind of unenviable task of gathering intelligence on the communist north, the great unknown, what becomes the DPRK. And he's captured by the North Koreans, imprisoned in Pyongyang for a period. And he later claims when he's asked, you know, is there one moment in your life when you decided to turn your back on the West, when you decided to work as an intelligence agent for the Soviets? And he says it was in the relentless bombing of small Korean villages by enormous American flying fortresses, women, children, old people, because the young men were in the army. And we could have been victims ourselves. It made me feel ashamed of belonging to these overpowering, technically superior countries fighting against what seemed to me to be defenseless people. So it's incredible. As a prisoner in North Korea, he makes the decision that actually his political sympathies, if you will, are with the North Koreans and are with the Soviets. So there's always a moment, I think, for every spy, you know, be it an Iranian who defects to the Americans, you know, be it a Soviet defecting to the British, or be it in this case, a British spy defecting to the communist world, there's always a moment in time where you can pinpoint when the transition happened in their heads. And for Blake, it was a prisoner in North Korea.
So he was going through all of this mental, big, massive shift in his own life. But then when he was released, he returned to Britain and returned as a hero.
That's the amazing thing. This guy comes back from, you know, being a prisoner in North Korea to Britain, and they're, you know, they're waving the Union Jack at him. He's a British hero. But little do the people know who are clapping him that he's now kind of working to undermine the very same state that welcomes him home. And he comes back, he moves through the ranks of British intelligence, MI6, I mean, the height of British intelligence work. They send him to Berlin post-World War II, very kind of divided city and society. And he's giving kind of vital intelligence to the Soviet Union and the KGB. There's a tunnel underneath Berlin, which is being utilized by the kind of Western forces to, you know, get into Soviet-controlled Berlin and gather intelligence. And the Soviets only ever uncovered the existence of that tunnel because of Blake. So he's giving very important information, if you will, across the barbed wire fence to the Soviets. And there's no denying that the information he gives leads to the deaths of British intelligence operatives. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And when it's eventually exposed, there's public outcry, as you can imagine, you know, in the Britain of the early 1960s, where the Soviet Union is public enemy number one. And they sentence this guy to 42 years imprisonment. That's an incredible prison sentence. You know, for someone who can't be directly pinpointed for murder, 42 years imprisonment is a remarkable sentence. In fact, you wouldn't do 42 years in most countries for murder.
No, and particularly for someone who recently had been hailed a hero. And it wasn't a light prison sentence either. It was one of the worst possible prisons, really.
Yeah, Wormwood Scrubs was probably the worst British prison. And it's still one of the worst British prisons, actually. In the 1980s, the resigning governor described it as a dustbin. Even today, there are reportedly 40 to 50 violent incidents per month within it. I mean, it is a notorious prison in Britain. They've been trying to shut it down for a long, long time. And I think if you were in Wormwood Scrubs, it was a daily battle for survival. And in this kind of West London hellhole, they send George Blake. And I think they do that for a reason, that, you know, it's not a political prisoner status that they're giving him. They put him, you know, among career criminals, if you will. And he finds himself mingling with very, very interesting people. There's some political people in there, like anti-war, anti-nuclear campaigners. But the one person he really hits it off with is a Limerick guy called Sean Burke, who's not a political prisoner at all. He's a criminal, a career criminal, if you will. And his life story is really interesting. There was an article on him last week described him as a second cousin of actor Richard Harris and a full cousin of poet Desmond O'Grady. Petty criminal Burke conspired with fellow inmates to spring the notorious spy to freedom. So we have this, you know, Soviet KGB double agent who befriends a Limerick career criminal, if you will, in West London.
Yeah, and they did kind of obviously hit it off, and then he helped spring him.
In incredible fashion. I mean, Burke is in there for 7 years. He's got a personal grudge against a senior policeman and he feels cost him his job. And he sends that policeman a letter bomb. Now, thankfully, it was unfatal, but he got 7 years, Burke, for that. And he later writes about how he befriended Blake. He didn't think that they'd have anything in common, but they really just struck it off personally. And he writes this great memoir, which is really entertaining, but to be honest, quite unreliable, called The Springing of George Blake, in which he writes about this friendship. I think a lot of people wanted to help Blake for reasons of politics. You know, there are people on the outside plotting a breakout, if you will, because they identify George Blake as a comrade, so to speak. But I think for Burke, it was just an issue of one, personal friendship, and two, total unease with the length of Blake's sentence. I think other prisoners felt 42 years was just not on. So this Limerick guy smuggles a walkie-talkie into the fact you can smuggle a walkie-talkie into a prison probably tells you everything you need to know about Wormwood Scrubs and how badly it's run. And he builds this kind of rudimentary rope ladder to break Blake out in October 1966. So he's 5 years into a 42-year sentence when he vanishes from the jail. And they have a getaway car. They get him to the DDR, to East Germany, and from there on to the Soviet Union. And I'm sure you can imagine for the authorities, that is an absolutely enormous embarrassment. This is, you know, the spy who went into the cold, so to speak.
And something that would be seized on by Russian propaganda as well in Blake's case. But did Burke follow him? Did the Limerick man go to Russia as well?
He's a household name in the Soviet Union, Blake, that is. You know, the daring nature of the escape, I think, was one thing. And there'd been a lot of defectors on both sides. But generally speaking, if you defect from the Soviet Union to MI6, you don't tend to say much about it. You live in a kind of deliberate silence and you hope to stay in the shadow. Blake is something different. I mean, he is kind of used by the Soviets to really taunt and to really provoke the West. I mean, there's press conferences and the like. And then the Limerick man, Burke, really doesn't have any other option than to follow Blake to Soviet Russia. He lives there for kind of 18 months on a pretty decent pension. And they eventually allow him to go back to Ireland. And the British try and, you know, extradite him via our Supreme Court over to the UK to stand trial. And for whatever reason, we don't send him. You know, in the 1970s, every attempt by the British through the Irish Supreme Court to get their hands on Burke ultimately fails. So he has this kind of curious renegade story, and he's living in Ireland, writing a memoir, The Springing of George Blake, all about his involvement in the tale.
I can see the Netflix series, Donal, forming in my head the more you talk about this. It's fantastic. How much of that memoir can we actually draw on, though? You said it was a bit inconsistent. Look,
I think it's fair to say he never allowed the facts to ruin a good story. You know, I think he was a born storyteller, Burke. So that really comes true. And he did a number of kind of television and radio interviews. He did a great one from Mike Murphy. But there's real inconsistencies, actually. And you could draw on these interviews were you to make that Netflix TV series, which deserves to be made. But one historian has written about him that he kind of became, quote, a minor celebrity in the public houses of Dublin. And after a while, you know, this story of the great prison break of the Soviet spy, it does fall down the news. You know, it does go from page one to page 12 to eventually not being in the newspapers at all. So Burke's star kind of fades. And I think when he realizes that the star is fading, the book is published, The Springing of George Blake. But he moves to Kilkee, basically lives in a caravan in the latter years of his life. And he has ambitions of writing another book, a memoir of his 18 months in the Soviet Union. But then he dies in 1982, late 40s, a very young man in near total poverty.
And there is some mystery of sorts around Burke's death, some alleging Russian involvement.
Just bizarre. I mean, he's plagued by total ill health, alcoholism and the like. But then years later, this story comes out. A former KGB officer turned Western agent, so you might say, you know, George Blake in reverse, writes this book called My 32 Years in Intelligence and Espionage Against the West, which isn't the catchiest title for a memoir ever penned. But he claims in it that Burke was actually poisoned by the Soviets, that they felt he was, you know, talking far too much, that he was revealing too much about Blake's life in Russia. And you know what? Stranger things have actually happened than that. Even in recent years, when we think about the espionage wars and people being poisoned on our neighbouring island. So I'm not inclined to believe it. I think that man may have been telling kind of exaggerated claims to sell his own book. But it is very interesting, the idea that the Soviets, you know, may have poisoned this guy living in a caravan in Kilkee. And, you know, who actually knows?
Because yeah, it is, I mean, the whole story is something, until you mention Kilkee, is something out of the golden age of espionage. But it actually, George Blake, of course, wasn't the first or last. And we do see this realm of defectors even today.
Absolutely. I mean, if the story of George Blake sounds fanciful, it really shouldn't. This happens in the world all around us. I mean, there's people like James Dresnok, American soldier who defected to North Korea and became a celebrity, an actor in propaganda films in North Korea. He only died in 2016. And on the other side of it, there's, you know, many defectors. There's Koreans, Iranians, Russians, Chinese people who work for Western intelligence agencies, you know, who are vitally important to intelligence agencies like MI6, the CIA in the West. And we generally don't hear a lot about them. But I don't think it's a coincidence that if you look at the footage of George Blake's funeral just 4 days ago, the largest wreath, which is positioned, you know, right there in front of the cameras and bears the name of the man who sent it in enormous gold lettering, was Vladimir Putin. And I think Putin did that for a very deliberate reason, you know, to be seen in the West. And, you know, Blake, he may be dead, but the intelligence war has never ended. And in these days of, you know, scientific breakthroughs, vaccine races, contested elections, political instability in parts of the world, I think the intelligence and counterintelligence game, you know, it's probably busier than ever.
A remarkable story, George Blake, a remarkable history, a remarkable career, and a fantastic edition of Hidden Histories from Donal Fallon. Again, thanks a million, Donal, and again, a happy new year to you, author of the Come Here to Me books and the host of the Three Castles Burning podcast, Donal Fallon there.